brother. Amen. Well, I will try to preach fast if you promise to listen fast. No, not really. I was discerning if I should go there or not, but I guess we are eating here. And so if you figure it in a normal Sunday where you'd like after church fellowship and then by the time you get home and actually eat, you can do all that here. So we're gaining at least 10 or 15 minutes with that, I think. But nevertheless, I want to, God bless you for sharing this morning, giving honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been all week talking about our individual lives. And, of course, last night on our family, on family life. And this morning I would like to talk about church life and the church. You see the verse on the screen, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another, taken from the book of Romans. And you could title this message, I'll wait for that just a little bit. I'll get to that and you'll see why. John chapter 12, go there. I want to begin with a verse or two from there. John chapter 12 and then move on into the more practical things of church life. John chapter 12 in verse 24, this is in the context of the kernel of wheat falling into the ground and dying. And this is what it says. Verily, verily, Jesus' words, John 12 verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And then he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, verse 26 is really where I want to make a point here. If any man serve me, these are the words of Jesus. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father do what? Honor. So the emphasis this morning, based on that verse and also on the verse on the screen, as it relates to church, as it relates to the church life. Now we could go to Revelation and look at all the different churches and how Jesus addressed the different churches. Not so much going there this morning. Somewhat of a continuation of last night. We talked about the family and honoring, speaking blessings, speaking life. That whole principle, now carrying that over into what does that look like in the life of the church on a regular basis? So that's where we want to go this morning. I also realize that we have, you know, maybe I know there's a few visitors here at least, and we have maybe different scenarios of church life and our experience. And maybe we would ask the question to start with, why am I at the church that I am? Why am I at Calvary Chapel? Why do I attend Calvary Chapel? Why do I attend wherever we attend? Why do I attend there? If we process that question, we would probably get various answers. But I want to look at this morning primarily at what does it look like in the body of Christ to operate in the spirit of honor. And the Bible talks about that. Now, to begin that, go to 1 Timothy, and now I'll give you the title. And 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, if I can find it here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, very familiar verse, or verses. I'll read in verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his reward. And against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Verse 17, where I really want to go this morning. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, not just honor, but double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now I'll give you the title. The title is this: The Message Your Pastor Won't Preach. See, I am very neutral this morning. I'm not your pastor. I'm not the one that comes to the pulpit here. I'm usually at a pulpit on Sundays, not every Sunday, but often. And we're at the home church. I'm one of the leaders there. And so, but for you all here this morning, I am very neutral. So I have a lot more freedom to say, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. It's a lot less awkward for me to come and preach on this than it is your own pastors or your own leaders. And yet it's in the Word of God, and so the message your pastor probably won't preach, or at least not as often maybe as he should. But let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. There's something about, now I've learned a lot in other countries where in third world countries, in Africa, where I'm more familiar with than any other place, where there is, again, there's two extremes. There you have where the elders and the leaders are so highly elevated, like you walk in there and they I'm just like, just let me sit back here until it's my time. Oh no, you go right up front. I mean, there is such a high level of honor and respect that it almost makes me feel uncomfortable. And the reason is their culture is not taught the scripture in John 13 and in other things that Jesus taught when he said, he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. And so that principle is foreign to them. In fact, Brother Nelson keeps telling me he's teaching leadership seminars over in Uganda. And the whole principle of leaders being servants is foreign. And so you have that extreme to it, but then you also have the other extreme where very little honor is given and respect to the elders who rule well. So Lord, help us to see what you are teaching us here this morning. So there he's saying they are worthy of double honor. Now I picture, I don't know for sure how you do it here, but I imagine it goes through a process of voting. Congregational voting and how that you select your leaders and you pray and you look at the qualifications. You may have someone come in and they may teach on qualifications and who should we look for. I was reading this morning in Acts when they were choosing deacons, when they chose Stephen. You know, they were, you know, he was the whole multitude, they agreed together that he was a man that was full of faith and with the Holy Ghost, it said. That's who they were looking for this office. And so we have these high qualifications. If we would go to Titus, just a couple pages in my Bible. Titus chapter 1, it may read like this for the qualifications of an elder. For this cause, verse 5, left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given the wine, no striker, not given the filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, lover of good men, sober, just, unholy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. So we are praying. We are praying, Lord, would you show us who would you want in leadership in our congregation? So we look at these qualifications. A man after the heart of God. A man that has one wife, has faithful children, blameless, a husband of one wife. Not self-willed, not soon angry, not given the one. I mean, high qualifications. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. So we have these high expectations of our leaders. Rightfully so. We ought to be that way. But as we pray, as we discern, so we're praying and we're saying, who in this congregation would qualify and would have the giftings in that way? So we vote and they get put it in. They get ordained. They have the laying on of hands. They are given the charge. They're given the charge. And we have these high expectations of these pastors. And may I encourage, I in this case know a little bit more about your, by the way, your pastors did not put me up to this. In case you're thinking, oh boy, he's been interacting with them and man, they just filled him in with this. That's not the case. But I do remind us, what is today, October 1st, right? October is Pastors Appreciation Month. Just in case anybody forgot. But when I look at, I know a little bit how you're structured here, more so than in some places that I get into. But I want to, in order to encourage the leadership team for just a moment, we have these high expectations of our leaders and how they live and how they are to be. And so we are to pray for them that not only do we pray or not only do we look for the qualifications when we ordain them, but pray for them that they could maintain that lifestyle. Because your leaders, I have the privilege of hearing many pastors over the years, and I've sat across the table or the desk from some of them where there are so many pastors. What motivated me to study on this is there are so many pastors who are just up to here. I mean, they're ready to throw in the towel. They can't take it anymore. Sometimes the very people that voted for them or that put them in are the very people that turn right around and turn against them years later because the spirit of honor is not in place. Many pastors, what really motivated this some time ago was every now and then you'd hear of a pastor that would on Sunday morning he got up and he just read off his resignation letter. That was it. Walked away. Nobody knew anything about it. Every now and then I'd hear that, and then on two occasions where I heard this, this was not only just a pastor that was maybe I heard the name or somebody out there, but somebody that I knew very well. In fact, one of them was a mentor of mine over the years. And I got word, well, yeah, he just got up on Sunday morning and he read off his resignation letter. And I'm like, I wonder, really? So I made a point to meet with both of these individuals. And I realize that in both of these scenarios, it wasn't just quite that abrupt as you hear. However, I did as I hear their heart, as I heard their heart, as I was listening to their heart. And this was something like, you know, we spend these hours and we're seeking the heart of God and we're praying. And we're studying the Word of God and we're trying to deliver a message and certain ones, you know, the Spirit just comes against them immediately. It doesn't matter what they say. It just, they're attacked and they're attacked and they're attacked and I can't take it anymore. Heard the heart cry of pastors. I'm not insinuating anything like that is happening here. I'm just encouraging us. And then in some cases I also found out where the pastors, and this is what I want to encourage us leadership team in and speaking to my own heart. Nowadays, it is so easy, can I say easy for us, to print out sermons on paper, Google it, print it out, make a few highlights, fold our papers, put them in the Bible, and do whatever else. And Sunday morning rolls around and we open our Bible, we open our notes, and we simply read off the sermon. Happens way too much. In fact, in one case, I heard where the wife printed out the sermon for the husband. I'll just leave that. Doesn't mean the wife can't help her. There's time when I go to my wife and say, honey, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this? And get counsel. But It's become so easy where you can, I should preach on this subject. So we Google it and we look at all kinds of stuff and we can print it out. Now, let me be quick to say this. I'm not against using it for study helps. I go on it. I do research. I find insights. I do studying online I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. However, I believe that messages should be birthed out of our intimate time with God, where the Holy Ghost will fall upon us and will say, "This is the word of the Lord for today." Yes. Where we seek the heart of God. We come before Almighty God and we pray and we seek His heart. We say, "Lord, would You put on my heart that which is needed for this hour, this day, this week?" Yes. Now, Lord, help me to put this together. Whether it's studying different translations and Strong's and meanings of words and online research to help us. Yes. But first of all, seeking the heart of God. And what happens if it's just printed out? There's not conviction, there's no passion, and people can come Sunday after Sunday and it's dry, there's no life, no change. Yeah, when it's done under the anointing, there's change, there's conviction, there's forgiveness, there's passion, there is honor in the church. Yeah, yeah. So may I encourage us leaders, including my own heart, may we seek the heart of God and not lack off. In this. Now, we have these high expectations of our leaders, rightfully so. But in the process of this study, one day I came to this realization that one thing, and when I use leadership and laity, I am not using it in the context of leadership up here and laity down here. That's not the point. It has to do with the position or the responsibility. Understand that. At the cross, we're all equal, right? At the cross, we're all equal. One day this thought hit me, just very clearly. We have these high expectations of our pastors and our leaders. But have we forgotten that the pastors and the leaders also have very high expectations of laity? Yeah. That's an element that we forget sometimes. We just think, well, the pastors need to live right, they need to live God, they need to be a good example. Yes, we do. We do. But the pastor, just like everybody expects the pastor to be right, to be godly, and to be holy, so does the pastor expect it from all of us. Because here's what can so easily happen. And this is why so many pastors are just want us at times to throw in the towel. Because when they are connected in the Spirit, which they ought to be, and all of a sudden one of their sheep, if you will, one of the sheep, it's really not their sheep, but it's the sheep that God has put us over or made responsible for. We're all God's sheep. Just one of us. Just one person starts drifting away from the things of God. That leader can sense that. They ought to. They ought to sense that. If we are in tune with the Spirit, you know, God is not mocked. You know, you can tell when there's something that is not right in somebody's life. Yeah, you ought to. Because there's walls, it's hard to have eye contact. You may think, well, they don't know what I'm involved with. They don't know my hidden sin. They may not know the specifics, but there's a wall there. And that hinders the spirit of honor. And so this pastor, this is a burden to him. And so they pray, they seek, and they're saying, "Lord, do I talk to them? Do I talk to him? Do I talk to her? And if so, when and where? Lord, give me wisdom." They lay awake at night. They can't even sleep because You're on their hearts. If we drift away, go to Colossians 1 and we'll see what the expectations, I believe, of every pastor has for the lay person. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Him. Self. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." I'm in verse 21. "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." And here's the verse. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. This is, I believe, the expectation of every pastor that he has, that we have of our lay people. Understanding in verse 22, in the body of his flesh, talking about Jesus, through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That's, I believe, the expectation that every pastor has of their lay people. And when they see and sense that one person is not in tune with God, is not lining up with it, this puts burden on us, puts burden on them. What do I do? How do I handle it? And boy, the moment the pastor maybe approaches something in a little bit of a wrong way, they just get attacked. May I remind us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers. That's who we wrestle against. So every expectation, every pastor that has an expectation, and I didn't know if I was going to take time to do this or not, but let's just go through this. The Lord was giving me this morning, and I share this to say this. This is what we're facing in the church. This is what many leaders are up against in the church. We're up against, and I won't take time to go there, but 2 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 4 about verse 1 through 5. We read about the whole apostasy. And I want to give you a little bit of a description of apostasy. And this is what we're facing. The definition of apostasy, the abandonment of renunciation of a religious belief, abandonment of a previous loyalty, a falling away. That's what's confronting the church today. One of the greatest problems confronting Christianity today, a rapidly widening gap between the ways that Christians are now approaching the Scriptures. That's what we're facing. We don't view Scripture as a guideline, but rather see it as a primer for relationships that are often culturally defined. We understand Scripture to have been authoritative for the original recipients, but not equally authoritative for today's recipients. That's what we're facing. That's what pastors are up against. The postmodern insistence on tolerance is winning over the Christian church. Everything is relative. There's no more absolutes. And this becomes a form of apostasy. Genesis 3 verse 1. Way back in the book of Genesis, it was already being challenged way back then when Satan said, "Has God said?" Even way back then, the Word of God was being questioned. And today, much more so. Tolerance is winning over the Christian church. Everything's relative. No absolutes. That's what we're facing. That's what all of us are facing. Our biblical illiteracy and lack of spiritual confidence has caused Americans to avoid making discerning choices for fear of being labeled judgmental. The result is a church that has become tolerant on a vast array of morally and spiritually dubious behaviors and philosophies. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound doctrine or sound and wholesome teaching. We will follow our own desires and we'll look for teachers who will tell us whatever our itching ears want to hear. We will reject the truth and chase after myths. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 3 from the NLT. Now, that's what we're facing in the church. We're facing apostasy. Now, how do we as leaders continue to exhort and teach and guard and admonish and encourage in the spirit of honor? Because when you really look at the Word of God and you keep talking about what's right and addressing sin and talking about that, you know, homosexuality and same-sex marriage and those things, according to the Word of God, are not right. They're not right. So some people don't like that. Some people don't agree with that. So we are faced with, are we going to stand on what God says, or are we going to become tolerant and are we going to just go with the flow? That's what we're facing. And so within that, we have to learn to honor and respect each other. Even if somebody disagrees with us, what's the best way to win? Say you're confronted with this. Somebody comes to you, well, I think we should just allow homosexuality. That is just okay. Now, what do I do? Now, I can approach that situation and say, well, brother, or whatever you want to call him, you know, according to the Word of God, I would have to disagree with you. Spirit of honor. There's nothing wrong with that, to say that. Or I could approach him, say, you are such an ungodly person. Don't you know better than that? You can maybe do that when you're preaching. Not quite that way. But see, the spirit of honor, even when you disagree, that's where I want to go this morning. Even among us here this morning, it may not be, I trust, it may not be over same-sex marriage, but how church life should look. There could be disagreements and differences in how we should carry out something. Or, whatever the situation may be, can I approach it in the spirit of honor, or am I pushing my way? Am I pushing my way? This is another, I'll get back to some more of that, but I was challenged with this in Exodus 3 verse 1. This is where Moses was in front, and I have to go through this very quickly. Moses was in front of the burning bush. And I noticed something not long ago in that very, in fact, I want to just go there because I don't think I have it on the screen. Go to Exodus 3, and I want to just go there very briefly. Exodus chapter 3. And again, this is the expectation that we have from everybody, from the lay people. When Moses was in front of the burning bush, verse 3, and Moses said, I will not turn aside, see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. That phrase is what I want to zero in this morning. In the expectations that we have of the lay people. Here am I versus here I am. And it has to do with how it affects the spirit of honor. So hang tight as we get there. Let's also, I want to make clear, I'm not talking about translation differences here. Some translations use, flip it around. Here am I. Some use here I am. So avoid all the translation differences. I want to talk about the hard attitude in the church. Many of us in the church have the here I am attitude rather than the here am I attitude. Stick with me. You'll say, well, what's the difference? We'll find out. Moses, in the King James, it uses this, and again, let's not talk about translations. I want to talk about the attitude of the heart. When Moses got in the presence of God, that was a symbol of the presence of God. He said, here am I. It was like, he was like falling before God and saying, here am I. When that is our attitude, we become broken. We become, there's a spirit of honor even when we disagree. There's a spirit of honor because we are again comparing ourselves to the holiness of God. Let's look at a few other examples in Scripture. Moses, here am I. A few other examples. In Genesis 22, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. This is where the angel of the Lord told Abraham not to kill Isaac. Genesis 46 verse 2, where God spoke to Jacob in a dream. God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. 1 Samuel 3 verse 4, that the Lord called Samuel. He answered, here am I. God called Samuel as a young man and he thought it was Eli. Isaiah 6 verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. It's Isaiah responding to God. Now, we're going to get to the difference of here am I versus here I am. It all has to do with our attitude in church life, in whether we honor or dishonor. Here I am, is this meaning. Says, God, do you see where I'm at? Come and meet me here. Bring your plan and your will to me. Make it fit for my mold of where I am in life. This distance between us will only be filled by you coming to me. It places emphasis on where you are in contrast with where God is. That's the attitude of here I am. In other words, the emphasis is on where I'm at. I am. I am. I am. That's the attitude of here I am. Look at the attitude of here am I, says God, I see that you want to use me, so I give you total permission to do whatever you see best. I'm dropping my plans and fears to come to you where you want me to be. I will cross the distance between us by coming to you. Use me completely. This places the emphasis on who and where God is and declares that you are submitted to Him completely. That's where, at home church, that's where I expect all our lay people to be. Not on, and I know you have to think this through, the difference, and I don't want to get caught up on terminologies and translations. It's the attitude of the heart. When the emphasis is focused on where I am versus where God is, that's usually where the spirit of dishonor starts creeping in. Because we're pushing our agenda instead of God's agenda. Especially in disagreements. Now, I wouldn't be honest if I would tell you that our leadership team at home or our administration and directors at Gospel Express would always agree with each other. There are times within the ministry, Sheldon knows, there's times when us directors where we disagree with each other. But you know what? I thank God to this day. God has granted us and blessed us with the spirit of honor. What does that look like? You know what? I would recommend maybe we move this direction, but you know what? If you all feel like we should go this direction, I'm okay with that. I honor that. I respect that. That happens. That happens. Sometimes we get in a lot of different places, set up, tear down, different venues, sanctuaries, buildings, gyms, prisons, whatever. Well, it used to be where my boys would help me. But now I'm helping them. And I'm so okay with that. They will often have the carts unloaded and they'll be in there and they're halfway done setting up before I even come on the scene. Now, telling you this to make a point about honoring. There are times when I will come on the scene when courts are run a certain place. You know, you look at, okay, where can we run this? Where are people coming in? Where's the least amount of traffic? What will be the least effective or distracting to the audience? I mean, all kinds of things you think through. So now they're at the age where they process these things and they look at these things. So now I come on the scene when they're halfway done. Now I can look at that and say, you know, I wonder if we shouldn't run this court over here. Or how did you come to the place of running it here? Well, they had their reason. Now, they have learned and they're so good. They're much better now than they were at one point, and they're better now than I am. But in the earlier stages of it was this, often when I was teaching them and training them, where there was times when I wanted a court run a certain place. And they had thought it through. They wanted to run it in a different place. Now, how do you resolve that in the spirit of honor? There's a disagreement, right? On numerous occasions, my sons would say this to me. They would say, you know, Dad, I see your point. I'll be honest with you. I still disagree, but you know what? If that's where you want it, we'll put it there. Complete spirit of honor. Disagreement, but the spirit of honor. Yeah. And it's resolved. It's like they're not pushing their agenda. It's not, here I am. I got to run the court where I want it. Really? No. Here am I, Lord. Let me serve you. That's the focus. Now, I have to be careful because I am their authority, that I don't push that. See, that's also here I am. There's also times when I need, you know what? After I think this through, you're right. You're exactly right. I honor that. I respect that. Wonderful. I long to see that in the church. We sit in a leadership meeting. We sit in a men's meeting. Did I hear men's meeting? You know, it doesn't mean we can't share our ideas and thoughts that God has laid on our heart. But in the spirit of honor. How do we do it? What does it look? Is the focus here I am? Or is it here am I, Lord? It's all about You. So help me. Help me to relate in the spirit of honor. What does that look like? And we'll close in just a moment. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we have probably all approached people in the spirit of honor. And we've approached them in the spirit of dishonor. While you're going to Hebrews chapter 10, I think of a time where a brother that I went to church with, you know, he did something that I disagreed with. I didn't think it was right. Now, I thought I was applying Matthew 18, and I was, because I approached him. But I approached him in a spirit of dishonor. And can I say, kind of gave him a piece of my mind what I thought about what he's doing? The result of his response was not very good to me. Pretty much the same. I left that situation, got home, and I was praying. I said, Lord, there's something about that that is not right. God gave me the grace to go back and be reconciled to Him. And today, you know, we can do the good old Jesus hug. You know, there's a lot of stiff-arming going on in church from time to time. You know, it's like, can I use you, brother? Tall, slender young man. You want to stand up there? You know, there's stuff like this going on in church where, you know, how you doing, brother? And it's kind of like, good to see you. You know, kind of like that. No, when the spirit of honor is present, this is love you in Jesus. I mean, I call it a Jesus hug. Yes, Jesus hug. Thank you, brother. Well, you even smell good, man. Yeah. You know, a good old Jesus hug. You know, and when reconciliation, you know, I can see him anywhere. And you know, there's no hesitation. You just want to go put your arm around him because he honors where I'm at. I honor where he's at. It may not mean that we agree on everything. Another brother that at a ball game, this was soon after I was a Christian, and I came out of playing industrial league, like where the cussing and the swearing was not unusual at all, on wrong calls and all that. So now I'm a Christian now. And I'm processing in my mind so I can actually be a Christian and play ball. Like I was processing that. One night, two churches got together and played ball. Played against each other. Provided their own umpires. Probably not a good idea. But I'll just say, this is what happened. Umpire made a call. And this was very casual, fun Monday evening ball game, right? Well, the one umpire, he made a call that one of my mentors, actually I was a young Christian, and he was one of these people that would, after church, he would come up to Ruth Ann and I, and he would say, can we go to the room? I just want to pray for you. Just prayed over it. Very godly man. But this night, it didn't go so godly for him. There was a call made that he disapproved. And man, the words that came out of his mouth, I was like, this guy, I mean, wow, I just couldn't believe it. This thing bothered me. I prayed. By the way, the only way I approach anybody in the spirit of honor is if I come to the throne of grace before. Prayed for several weeks. I said, Lord, it just wouldn't leave. Finally, one Wednesday, I said, yes, Lord, tonight. We had church that night, prayer meeting that night. I said, Lord, tonight, if he's there, this is the Lord spoke to me. He said, tonight's the night. I didn't really question whether he was going to be there or not because the Lord had so clearly spoke. He was there. And before we went into the sanctuary out in the foyer, I said, hey, brother, could the two of us pray together tonight? Oh, absolutely. I would love to. I said, great. Had our time dismissed for prayer. Went to this little room, just him and I. Closed the door. And I sat there and, you know, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And I finally said, brother, I want you to know I love you. Remember that ball game a few weeks ago? Yeah. Said, well, do you remember the words that were exchanged with the umpire? The moment I said that, tears just started running down his face.
tears. He said, you know, I'm just here to encourage you, but it's something that's been heavy on my heart. I don't know what God is doing in your heart through it, but it bothered me what I felt coming from you, and I just wanted to talk to you about it. He just sat there, just cried. And after his emotions were together, he says, brother, the last few weeks have been very difficult for me. And I felt just didn't feel good in my relationship with the Lord. And I was asking the Lord what it was. Why? And he said, God used you right now to show me. Spirit of honor. Now, in my heart, I could have approached him and says, buddy, I looked up to you. You shouldn't have spoken like that. Do you think he would have started crying? Probably not. How do we approach one another? Prefer one another? I want to close with this passage, and then we want to practice it, and then we'll go eat. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I call this spiritual therapy. As we see the day approaching, I don't believe it'll be long till we see the return of Christ. Now, I realize that when I was a little boy sitting on the preacher's bench, I heard the preacher say that way back then, 40-some years ago. I don't know the day or the hour, and no one does. When I see on Facebook that he's coming back on September 23rd, I know it won't be that day. Because the Bible says, no man knoweth the day or the hour. So, are we kidding? But I do know this. When I was a little boy and I heard the preacher say that, I do know one thing. It's closer now than it was back then. Yeah. As we see the day approaching, the Hebrew writer is saying, exhort one another, provoke one another to love and the good works, preferring one another, consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works, even in disagreements. I thank God for our leadership team at home. And I thank God for leadership at Gospel Express. In both scenarios, there are situations that we disagree with, but it's the spirit of honor. Brother, honor where you're at. Even in convictions at our home church, we don't all have the same application. And now how do you work through that? How, you know, they honor where I lead my family and I honor where they lead their family. It may not be the same, but can I honor where they're at? Doesn't mean I agree with them. It means some we may even interpret Scripture different, but it's in the spirit of honor that we operate. In the spirit of honor. May God help us to display and exhort one another in that. How many times, in church where God spoke to your heart and He asked you to go to an individual in your congregation, you notice something that they're doing or something about their life, just who they are, whatever. You notice something stands out. And he's like, you know what? The next time I see them, I want to just encourage them in that. But we didn't do it. But the moment they do something wrong, wow, we so quickly, usually not tell them, but others. Spirit of dishonor. Spirit of dishonor. Which really hinders the glory of God from falling. Yeah. 60-some-year-old man a few years back, we got snowed out in the prison in South Carolina. We had a time with our volunteers, testimony time, one evening when the snow was flying outside. We got together, had testimony time, singing, worship, praying, testimony time. 60-some-year-old man, he came up, he got up front and he said this. We had a service the night before we got snowed out. And it was the service where our family was at. It was at that prison. And I noticed when the inmates were coming in through that all the volunteers that were there, the prayer partners, they were all standing in a row and they were shaking hands with all the people, the inmates that were coming in. And I noticed that. It was great. I loved it. Well, this man gets up and here was his testimony. He said, you know, last night, as the inmates were coming in, I was standing there shaking hands with all these inmates. And he said, the one inmate, he just came to me and he shook my hand like this and he looked me right in the eyes and he asked me this. He said, how are you, man of God? And his testimony was, I have never had anybody in my life ask me that or tell me, you're a man of God. One of the reasons we hesitate is we're afraid we're going to get puffed up. You know, that's up to the individual who's receiving it. This man's testimony was, if that's the way this inmate looks at me, I have a high standard to live up to. That was his testimony. It's like, wow, if he sees me as a man of God, if that's what my life portrays, I have a high standard to live up to. Words of life, words of exhorting one another. You know, I see this gifting in you. There's no question whether Sheldon's a deacon or not. You know, I see that gifting all over him. And you know him better than I do. But I see that. I see the gifts. We have Ephesians 4 operating in our church. Evangelist, prophet, teacher, and apostle, and pastor. And you know, my good pastor friend. And he's not the lead person. The apostle is the lead person. But my pastor friend, he's, you know, people that are hurting and that are struggling, they go to him, not to me. Because I want to just tell him, what's so hard about this? I mean, repent, get right with God, go on with life. It's not that difficult. You know what he does? Oh, brother, I feel so sorry for you. He puts his arm around him. He loves him. He encourages him. And he just swells up with passion, compassion within. Now, is he more right than I am, or am I more right than he is? No, I honor that gift. He's come to me and says, sometimes I have to lay down. I wish I could preach like you can. I'm like, brother, no. I wish I would have compassion on people like you do. No, we honor each other. God bless you. We need you. You need me. We need all the others in the spirit of honor. Brother Nelson, bless his heart. He is not threatened by me and I'm not threatened by him. Love to do tent meetings together. You know what? We're each other's amen corner. I know without a shadow of a doubt, he is sitting behind me and he is encouraging me and he is right with me. When he's preaching, I'm right there with him. There's a spirit of honor. I'm not threatened by his gift and neither is he threatened by mine. Oh, I believe that brings God glory. Not because it's us, it's the spirit behind it. It's not about who I am, it's about who he is. And when that spirit of honor can operate in a ministry, in a church, wow, look out what can happen. Can we stand together? Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, what I would like to do is very similar to last night. This will be our closing. Very similar to last night, although it's not family. Other than church family. Church family. Doesn't matter if you're from Calvary Chapel, doesn't matter if you're from a visiting church. This principle, and I sometimes during sharing time at our home church, we have a time where we go to one another. And I'm not saying you have to do it this way, I'm just giving an example. Go to one another, and God has spoken to me. And again, when God speaks to you, this is not to be outside of His Word. This is still the final authority. Never take what, say, well, God spoke this to me no matter what the Word says. That's not the way to do it. This Word is the final authority that we're going to be judged by. But words of life, provoking one another to love and to good work. You know, I see what God is doing. You know, this young couple here just so stands out to me. And I just, somehow, God is going to use you in His kingdom in ways that you have not seen yet. There's life there. There's the seed of Christ there that is just ready to bust in a good way. In a good way. Yeah, I don't know what that is, but somehow I sense that in this young couple. And when I do that, not one of you should feel left out. See, that's the spirit of honor. You know what? God doesn't give me a word for everybody. God doesn't do this and do that. It doesn't mean that you're less or I'm more. No. This is honoring God. So, what I'd like to do this morning as we close, let's see. Do we have prayer for the food over there? Over there then? Oh, here? Okay. So we're gonna have prayer for the food, and then what we're gonna do is gonna be our dismissal, okay? Can we do that? So everybody just step out and come right up front here. Just get out of your seats. Non-optional altar call. Hallelujah. One of those again. It's not really an altar call, but